I'm Tyler Jonas, the founder of Economics and Entrepreneurs, and today I am talking with Scott Reckler, the CEO and chairman of RXR Realty, a multi-billion dollar private real estate company. Before Scott was the CEO and chairman of RXR, he was the CEO and chairman of Rex & Associates Realty Corp, which was a publicly owned real estate investment trust, which was sold in 2007 to SL Green for $6 billion. Today, Scott serves on the board of the Long Island Children's Museum and is the chairman of the Center for Social Innovation, which serves as a launchpad for entrepreneurs to accelerate their success and amplify their impact. I could go on and on with a number of other philanthropic, educational, and medical boards that Scott currently serves on. We are very lucky to have Scott here to speak with us today. Scott, first, tell me a little bit about yourself and your career.
So I'm married for 25 years. Today's my anniversary. I have three kids, and I'm a born and bred New Yorker through and through, and love New York and the whole metro region. And my career started with a family business that, as you noted, was Rexon. And it was a company that my grandfather started back in the 50s. And then my father and uncle got into the business. And as the commercial real estate business began to evolve, they went into suburban office and industrial. And I came into the business in 1989 when the real estate markets were going through a transition almost like today. It was a different period of time, and things that had been done a certain way in the past were changing. So I was able to get involved and rethink the strategy from what was suburban office on Long Island to a more regional strategy, and went public in 1995. And at the time I was 26 years old, so I was young in that process. And then we began to build our company from that period until we sold it in 2006 to one of the largest owners of office properties in New York City and the surrounding marketplaces. And then literally the day we sold our company, we formed RXR with the objective of, again, building a company with a similar strategy, but done as a private company versus a public company.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say was your most formative business experience from both at RXR and Rexon?
I would say actually starting RXR. So, you know, after running a business that was around for five decades and then growing it pretty dynamically for 11 years, I thought it would be easier to actually start a new business. And even with all that experience and having still at the time 150 employees, it was really difficult to actually form a new business, to gain our traction, to, you know, get our strategy worked out, to get our financial support, to work out all the administrative kinks along the way. It felt like it took a good 3 years to finally get in rhythm. And so it was, you know, as I reflect on it, that was surprising. At the same time, it was the most rewarding because we really started again from scratch and had been able to then build a business today which has $15 billion of assets. So being able to start again from scratch, even though it was hard, made me feel good that we were able to do it that way and sort of learn a lot from our lessons of the past that we were able to navigate through this time around.
And what business accomplishment are you most proud of?
The business accomplishment that I'm most proud of is the culture that we've built at our business. You know, we built a culture in terms of our employees and our team. That we're a big family, we really care for each other. We have a culture in terms of when we do business with people, we take a long-term relationship approach where we want it to be a win-win from all the parties involved and not us win versus someone else winning. And a real focus on commitment to community. And so, you know, we say here we like to do good and do well at the same time. And so we apply that to everything we do. And that's something that is hard to get embedded, but it's embedded throughout our entire organization, and I think everyone takes a great sense of pride on operating with that credo.
In addition, what do you think best prepared you for your career in starting RXR and what you're doing today?
I would say mentorship, and an array of mentorship. I've been someone in my whole life that have always found mentors at different points of my life that even to this day I speak to mentors that I had 25 years ago and that, you know, they've taught me you know, ways to educate myself, ways to evaluate what's happening strategically, lessons about life and patience, and someone to, you know, reflect on their past experiences that I'll never have and be in a position where I can then try to use that to better educate myself. And I've always made it a point to spend a lot of time meeting with people, even if there's not a ends to the means that's specific, but people that are accomplished or have a long history, a long experience, to sort of hear their story and try to learn from what that is. And I think that that sense of mentorship has been something that I would recommend for everyone to try to reach out and build rounds of mentors.
And I know that you are on the chairman of the board of the Center for Social Innovation. Can you go into some detail about what the center provides for entrepreneurs?
Sure. So the Center for Social Innovation was a in New York was an organization that I co-founded back in 2011. And the purpose was, at the time, there was a real desire of a lot of young people to want to do socially responsible things. Some had organizations were for profit, some for nonprofit. But they a lot of them were unsuccessful or doing the same things. And the view was, if we created a center where they could work together and collaborate, they could be mentored, as I just mentioned in that mix, they can actually have tools and resources they otherwise wouldn't be able to get themselves, you'd have a greater propensity of success with those organizations. And so today, at the Center of Social Innovation, we have over 200 organizations that have missions from working with people that are in prison so that they can get educated, working with people that come out of prison so they can stay out of prison, working with poverty, working in Africa, homelessness, whatever the topic is. And it's become itself an organization where people rely on each of the other members to help their businesses be successful. And even in terms of other companies now that are really trying to tap a sense of social responsibility, whether it's Johnson & Johnson or even the UN, almost every week there's two or three large companies that are coming to the Center of Social Innovation to meet with our organizations, to hold events there and engaging with our members. So it's really become a heartbeat of that area and the community for being socially responsible and having like-minded people in the same place.
What advice would you give to a new entrepreneur?
My advice to a new entrepreneur is, it's not about making money. Too many people think being an entrepreneur and starting a business is about making money. It's really about creating a competitive advantage that enables you to find a way to create value better than other people. And if you can create value in whatever you're doing, if you're adding value in whatever you're doing, eventually the goodwill, the fortune will follow you. But if the goal is, I want to make money, you'll fail, in my opinion. And that's what I've seen historically. So focusing on, what am I doing differently to accomplish something that someone else couldn't do, and how can I create a competitive advantage at that, will be, keep asking yourself that question. That's what you should focus on, versus what's the best way to reach some financial reward.
And would that be the same advice you would give to your 18-year-old self, or would be something else, you think?
To my 18-year-old self, I would give myself a different advice. Or I think I would say that things happen for a reason. And, starting a business really young and being less experienced than a lot of the people that I was either doing business with or competing with, I always felt like I had to work the hardest and work around the clock. And when something went wrong, I would take it really to heart. And as you get older, and I've gotten older, and reflect back on time, you realize things happen for a reason. Things take their course. Just, do the right thing, work hard, and just keep moving forward. And eventually, you'll find that course.
And lastly, as co-chairman of the board of the Tribeca Film Festival, you've had the chance to preview some of the best and new movies of our time. Which one was your favorite?
Well, I love movies, and I like movies that are based on real life stories, because I like to see how the pattern plays out. And so, and this wasn't a film festival movie, but one of my favorite movies is the movie Rudy, which I don't know if you know that movie, but it's about a young guy who all his dream was to go to Notre Dame, but he was really small and he wanted to play football, and he went to Notre Dame, made it onto the football team for the practice squad, but he was like half the size of everyone else, and everyone fell in love with him. And the last game, they brought him in, and he sort of became the hero of the game, and the whole team rallied around him. And I think it just showed a sense of how, even big football players can be sensitive, and how a young guy who's even small in that mix could show that he could rise to their level and all, come together in Notre Dame. And I cry at the end of every one of those movies, so that's what I like.
Well, thank you for speaking with me today. It was great to have you here.
It was great to do it. Thank you.